The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, hello and welcome to the program. Happy Tuesday, happy July, happy 4th of July coming your way. And so, because of that, we are honoring and celebrating America and American history today and taking a good look at our Declaration of Independence and the history that led up to that Declaration of Independence. Here to help us with this important history lesson is Sean Morgan. Sean is an American history student. An ongoing student. He is a teacher of the history. He's a brother in Christ. And recently, Sean led an 8-week class that I attended where we studied our history in order to become better informed citizens and better involved citizens. It's a great class. We'll talk about that in another program. So we're going to have more of these programs with Sean coming up in the months ahead. And I hope that you will be with us. All that with our Teach for Today, Sean Morgan, right after these messages.
How tall will I be?
Can I die from hiccups?
What's antibiotics?
Do I have cooties?
What's toe jam?
Why can't medicine taste like burritos?
Kids have all kinds of questions. The pediatricians at Kiniksu Community Health have the answers. At Kiniksu Community Health, we specialize in making it all better. Take a moment to schedule your child's annual well child check today. Learn more at kchni.org.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing your schedule, responding to Jim's long emails, leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC starting at $699.99 at Dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management and practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
News Talk 97.1.
All right, everyone, here we go. Join me as I say hello and welcome to Sean Morgan. Sean, thank you for being here.
Sure thing. Hi.
You know how excited I am about this program. I loved that biblical citizenship class that I took with you and the Patriot Academy videos, and it was just so good. And so Tell our audience just a little bit about yourself and how is it that you came into this love of history, especially American history?
Yeah, so I appreciate the very generous introduction earlier, but I'm just a guy. I'm not any kind of authority or scholar or anything like that. I mean, I do study, but yeah, about 10 years ago, my mother passed away and I inherited like 6 boxes of stuff, and it was all family history. Photograph albums that were my great grandmother's and books and trinkets and things like that. So piecing together family history led into American history. And I don't know, probably over the last 5 years or so, I've really gotten into American history, found Patriot Academy and started teaching the Biblical Citizenship course, which focuses on the foundation of America from the history to the foundational documents like the Declaration we're going to talk about today and the Constitution that we'll talk about in the future, hopefully.
Yes.
And it's just a lot of fun to me. It's interesting.
It is totally interesting. And it truly is for those listeners, you know, whether you're believers or not, truly our country, when you look at the journals and the letters, Sean, and the documents themselves that became the official documents for America, they're very definitely biblical. Base. You just can't deny it. It's just the way they were thinking then, and it's what makes this country so very different than other countries.
Yeah, yeah. As we look at the American Revolution today, you got to remember at the same time the French Revolution was taking place over in France, and they were doing a less religiously focused revolution, and that turned out with guillotines and, you know, 3 or 4 constitutions within a short period of time, where our Constitution has persisted now for nearly 250 years.
It is a wise, wonderful, godly document. Right. Okay, so last week, I want to begin with America 250 to kind of get people excited and in on what's going on. America 250 is a national initiative, and we have an Idaho initiative here talking with our state treasurer, Julie Ellsworth, last week. She introduced me and you were listening in to America 250. So give our audience a little bit of overview of what's going on with America 250.
Well, yeah, there was a House concurrent resolution last year down in the Boise State House. They passed this resolution that they wanted to be involved in the America 250 celebration. So between then and 2024 and all the way into 2027, Idaho is going to be observing, you know, what happened 250 years ago in American history. And it's worth pointing out, as I mentioned, you know, Idaho 135 is this Thursday. Our state is 135 years old. Our Constitution was accepted by Congress 135 years ago.
I did not know that. You told me that before we were on the air, and I thought, oh my gosh, there's another program.
Yeah.
Well, America 250 is wonderful. And one of the things I want people to understand is that, first of all, the 250th anniversary began really months ago with the Paul Revere ride, and tell our audience what happened then. I mean, that's already happened 250 years ago.
Yeah, so Julie actually mentioned that on the program last week in April. 250 years ago, I think it was April 19th, there was Paul Revere's ride, the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and the shot heard around the world is the way I learned it coming up, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
And that was the first, well, it wasn't necessarily the first hostile shot because we had the Boston Massacre before that, but it was leading into this idea of, you know what, reconciliation may not work out with the crown, so we may have to do something else.
And we may
and
have
we
to
persisted,
fight.
Persisted.
Yeah. I think the other thing that people can understand or need to is on June 14th, 250 years ago in 1775, the Continental Army was formed. Mm-hmm. And the very next day, I didn't know this, I don't know if Julie said this or not, George Washington was named the Commander-in-Chief of that Continental Army a year, a little bit more than a year before the Declaration was even happening.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I think she did allude to that. You know, and remember too, George Washington, he was an Englishman. And
yes.
He actually fought for the British Army in the French and Indian War.
Yeah.
So he, you know, these were folks who considered themselves to be English citizens or English subjects. They just happened to live in a different continent, and they really wanted to be treated like English subjects or citizens. They wanted the same rights as the Englishmen on the island.
They didn't start off thinking separation from England, did they?
No.
They started off with wanting, well, you go ahead and say it.
They desperately wanted reconciliation. You know, and going back to the declaratory acts, I think it was, Parliament basically said, you know what, we're in charge. It's not just the king now. You've got this legislative body. And this legislative body, the Parliament, was making laws and passing laws that were affecting the Englishmen in America.
And not affecting Englishmen in England. They were being treated differently than what they considered their fellow citizens.
Yeah. For example, that French and Indian War, that cost the crown a bunch of money. So Parliament's trying to raise money, so they're taxing the American Englishmen to try and pay for this war. And they just wanted to be treated fairly. They wanted to have a say in what was being done, what was happening in Parliament, you know, that whole taxation without representation that we learned about. That's what that was about. It's like, if you're gonna impose laws on us, we want to have a say in what those laws are.
We want to be a part of Parliament. We want to be have our liberty and representation in government. I want to also give up here up front with you guys that are listening. You can get this information. Please consider being involved as a family to teach your kids, to encourage teachers to cover this material in the upcoming school year or through things you can do this summer. And for all the resources and information you need, you can get it at america250.idaho.gov. And you can get all kinds of how to get involved, how to be an ambassador, lots of resources for you to use at america250.idaho.gov. And you can also find a lot of information on Facebook. There is a Facebook page for America 250 in Idaho. And look what I got. Sean brought me one of the official ambassador buttons. How did you get this button?
Well, Julie mentioned that she had given a whole stash of them to our county treasurer, Clarissa. And I just went down to her office and said, hey, can we get a couple of these? We're going to do a radio show. That's pretty ambassador-y.
Absolutely. So you can get this too. You can order them or you can go to the treasurer's office. But more importantly, you know, get involved with you and your kids. Learn about what's going on. This is a big deal, celebrating our 250th anniversary. All right. So let's go back to that idea of what was leading up to this. What were these men and leaders and ministers thinking as the Battle of Lexington and Concord happened? Where were they at?
Well, so up in Massachusetts, Boston, you had the Sons of Liberty running around opposing these different acts that were being forced upon them by Parliament. You know, the Stamp Act, the Tea Act, the Quartering Act, the Sugar Act. So many laws were being forced upon the colonists that they were just getting fed up with it. And the Sons of Liberty were, you know, sort of a little underground. They're called now like a terrorist mob group, but we think of them in terms of patriotic, you know, fighting for rights. And they were running around causing trouble for the English government in Boston area. And it wasn't only there. I mean, there were problems all over. And you have to remember, we're dealing with 13 separate colonies.
They were not united.
Some of them were, you know, we talked about the different religions. Some of them were Anglican. Some of them were Presbyterian. Some of them were Congregationalists. And there were state religions within these different colonies, you know. So if you lived in, you know, Virginia, for example, you were Anglican, or that was the official religion of that colony. So all of this trouble back and forth, you know, and individually these colonies would reach out to the king and try to reconcile and try to make peace and try to be heard and have things straightened out so that they're not being singled out or they're not being abused. And it just wasn't going anywhere. So then in 1774, the first Continental Congress was called together. And this was really the first time that the colonies individually came together as a group and started to look at how do we solve our common problem. You know, we're each experiencing different issues with the crown or similar issues with the crown. What can we do to alleviate that or to change that or to be heard? So they're forming a union maybe, or, you know, some sort of a unified voice. So they're becoming we the people instead of just a bunch of individual state governments.
In the notes I saw that, and I think this, I don't know where this came from, it was in your notes, reconciliation versus treason. I mean, they were still not unified in how to address this issue. They were, some of them maybe were moving in the idea of we're just going to have to be separate. But really, that was considered to be treasonous.
It was. Yeah. So, you know, any speech against the king is considered treason. So as these guys are getting together as the First Continental Congress, they're not even talking about independence at this point. They're talking about how do we get the king to listen to us?
Right, a greater voice in that government.
Right, or just, you know, when we send him a petition or, you know, we send grievances to him, he's not responsive to us. How do we solve this problem? And one of the first things that they did in the First Continental Congress was they got on their knees and they prayed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they appealed to the governor of the universe on how do we deal with the governor we have here on earth? You know, how do we
need help?
How do we reach this king's ears?
I want to go back. I try to take us through like the Battle of Lexington. I mean, it says that the war for independence begins there, and then Battle of Bunker Hill. I mean, how did it advance? I mean, obviously we went through like, let's get along with the king and try to work this out to...
Yeah, well,
shooting guns.
It was. Let's get along with the king and try to work this out up until the summer of 1776. They were still trying, you know, the
even with these battles going on.
Yeah. When we say battles and, yeah, there were little skirmishes, you know, the Boston Massacre, it sounds like a bunch. It was five people who were killed, tragically. Mm-hmm. But that was an incident that happened, and that was kind of the first hostile act that the British Army undertook against the colonials. You know, there was the first time somebody was killed in sort of a military sort of engagement. It was a standoff between the citizens and the British Army. You know, there's references in the Declaration to the king has, you know, taken away our governments and installed his own people. And that's what was happening in Boston at the time. I think his General Gage was put in place of the governor up there. If I've got my history right, I'm not an expert. I have to go back and look. But... yeah, so there was that engagement, the Boston Massacre, and then we still had these different acts coming down from Parliament, and the Boston Tea Party as a result of the Tea Act.
You know, I'm just going to say, I'm looking at that list. That was in 1773.
Yeah.
That was 3 years before the actual declaration, the actual laying down the gauntlet and saying, you know, we're not going to do this. That was 1773. I had no idea it was that early on.
Yeah, it had been a point of contention going back, you know, years and years. It's not just 1775, 1776.
Exactly.
The Navigation Acts. I mean, look at the Sugar Act, the 1764. See, I did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes. The French and Indian War ended in 1763. Again, we said Washington fought for the British there in that war against the French. And then to pay for that war, we start seeing all of these different acts of Parliament to raise revenue. You know, the Sugar Act, Stamp Act, Quartering Act. Well, Quartering Act was more, we're sending our soldiers over. You need to take care of them. You know, we're not gonna pay.
Oh, that's
a
right.
Hotel to quarter them.
They have the authority to walk into your house, and you have to bunk them board, yep. Room and board.
Yep, they will walk in like, oh, this is a very nice master bedroom. I think I'll take that from you.
So, if I had to ask you, coming up to our next break, who were the people who said they had lost patience? They were kind of on the front form of we have to separate from England.
Well, that was the Second Continental Congress, you know, and again, the Second Continental Congress comes together. They send out the olive branch petition to the kings, like, hey, we're
trying.
That was
1775.
That was in 1775. Yeah.
And then, it says here March. So 250 years ago, that had happened. The olive branch petition was, it was July 5th. 1775.
Right. So then just a year later,
they'd
gone as far as they could go, and they finally had to say, you know what, this isn't going to work.
This is so good for people to understand you know, what led up to this, and what were the issues that they were dealing with? And really reluctantly, they finally got to the point where it was, this is just not going to work. We have to fight. All right, everybody, we're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now. We have so much more for you. Sean is here with so much information, so don't go away.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing your schedule, responding to Jim's long emails, leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC starting at $699.99 at dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
Discover the 4th of July sale at Target. Save 20% on clothing and swimwear for women, select cookies with Target Circle, and up to 50% off Sun Squad sporting goods. Get ready for a fireworks-worthy celebration with patriotic cookies, fun sports gear, and of course, spectacular fits. The deals end July 5th, so hurry and get 20% off apparel, select cookies with Target Circle, and 50% off Sun Squad sports gear, only at Target. Restrictions apply.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. I'm so excited that you're with us today. You're picking us up at 97.1 FM, 1450 AM, and wherever you are at NorthIdahoRadio.com. And there will be a recording of this program posted up, you know, tomorrow. Maybe it'll take till Thursday to get up also at NorthIdahoRadio.com. So share this with your friends and family. Okay, so we're celebrating America 250, the 250th anniversary of so many important events in our history, from being an English colony, 13 colonies, to being a United States of America. And Sean Morgan is helping us sort things out. He has got so much information. I mean, we'd have to be here for, I don't know, like an eight-week course in other to cover it all. So let's look at some of the details of the people who participated in forming the Declaration of Independence. How many people signed, and who were they?
Well, that was, 56 signers of the Declaration, and they were representatives from each of the colonies. Different backgrounds, different levels of education. You had lawyers, you had merchants, you had farmers, you had everyday people. There wasn't any common thing like, you know, you had legislators from their state or their colonial houses, you know, House of Burgesses in Virginia. And there was no common denominator other than that they all wanted to be free men. They all wanted to be treated the way that everybody else was treated in their, you know, in their government, in their country, in England. And they had gotten to the point where they realized that was not going to happen and that they had to do something drastic about it.
Right. There had been a big buildup of all from before 1773, you know, where things just started going south with the king and the parliament. And year after year after year, they felt they were being unfairly treated. They couldn't work it out. So like you say, we have to separate from England. And the other thing is, these were not all wealthy men. They were not all big-time leaders. But, Sean, talk about something I didn't think I fully appreciated was this was so risky for them and such a sacrifice. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, so as we said, this was a treasonous act if we're to look at it from the English perspective. You know, and that's actually what the king had done after the Battle of Lexington and Concord, the Battle of Bunker Hill, rather, he sent the proclamation back to the colonies declaring us in rebellion, open rebellion. You know, he didn't want to hear it anymore. He's like, you guys are rebels. We're going to send the army and deal with you. So, yeah, what these founders did was an act of treason from the standpoint of the English point of view. You know, from the standpoint of liberty, this was a necessary step to free themselves from a tyrannous, oppressive regime. They
right.
had to get out from underneath it.
And there were still people there in the colonies who were not on the side of founders. They were the king's people. They were the loyalists, right?
Yeah, the Tories or the loyalists.
The Tories or the loyalists. So there was dissension. Would you say the majority wanted the liberty and the loyalists were in the minority, or
you kind of have to say that because this document came about and it wasn't just these 56 people who'd said this is what we're going to do.
They were just representing.
They were representatives from their states, you know, and in the case of some of the delegates from New York, they said, I can't sign this. I need to, this is not what we, you know, well, not the Declaration, but the Constitution. This is not what I came here to do. I need to go back to my state and see what they want.
You know,
that's being a proper representative.
Exactly. I think the other thing before we get into the Declaration itself is I just assumed that George Washington at some point did sign the Declaration of Independence, and he didn't. Where was he? Why wasn't he here doing this with them?
Well, there were redcoats coming, you know, so he was out dealing with them as
the
no
British
longer,
are coming. The British are coming.
He was no longer a British officer. He's now with the Continental Army. He's an American, or what will soon become an American, but he's opposing the British Army at this point.
Yeah, just to repeat what I think I said earlier, June 14th, 1775, the Continental Army was formed. The very next day, George Washington was appointed commander. And, you know, another quick comment that I just feel like I have to make is, you know, this June 14th, I can't believe there was controversy here in America. You know, the whole thing for the parade celebrating the birth of, you know, what was to be the United States Army ultimately was started probably in, I don't know, 2023 at the latest. The funding for it all went down in the Biden administration. Whoever was going to be president in 2025 to celebrate the birth of the United States Army, whoever was going to be the president, they would be in on that parade and they would be attending that parade. And it just happened that it was Trump's birthday. And I can't believe people actually thought that, you know, Trump drummed up this parade for his birthday. It's like, what? I mean, do you read a newspaper? I don't know. It's like, this has been going on for several years, planning this great event. And Trump just happened to be there.
Yeah. And people will see what they want to see. And it's that way in history.
I know.
You know,
it's
if you go back and look at history, there's things that, you know, if you've got a point you want to make, you can make it with history. Same thing with the Bible. You know, if you have a point you want to make, you can make that point.
You can find it.
But you may not be right. You know, that's why in the court of law, we say tell the truth, the whole truth,
right,
and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
It's so easy to lie while still telling the truth by leaving things out.
Right, exactly. Well, anyway, so George Washington wasn't there. He was up taking care of the army and being commander-in-chief. All right, so let's get to the meat of the Declaration of Independence. Start us off with what is it about this document? I mean, it has not been changed in all these years. Unlike the Constitution, it's been amended. This stands.
Right. Well, the Constitution was designed to be amended, but the Declaration, you know, it was a declaration that was made. It's like, hey, world, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And this is what we expect to get out of it. And nobody's ever gone, well, I shouldn't say nobody's ever gone back, because, you know, our friend Howard Zinn, who has a particular view of American history, wrote a book called Declarations of Independence and tore it apart as well. But officially, this document's never been amended or questioned or, you know, called to be illegitimate or anything like that. It was a declaration that was made in 1776, and it stands today, almost 250 years later.
Are kids still memorizing the preamble? I remember memorizing the preamble in elementary school, and I think we even had to memorize it in high school at some point.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still happening. For the Constitution, that's one that I memorized. You know, we had Schoolhouse Rocks when I was a kid, and learned the preamble to the Constitution there.
Yeah.
So it would be good, and that's part of the Idaho, America 250 in Idaho, is to perpetuate and to have these kind of opportunities to learn about our documents and our history.
So what does the Declaration of Independence say? What are the different parts of the Declaration that we'd like the audience to kind of reflect on?
Yeah, so I would encourage everybody, you know, this is a great week to do. This is not a large document. We've got a facsimile of it here sitting on the table. It's a single-page handwritten document. A slow reader like me can probably read this in a half an hour. You know, I've got two typewritten pages, single-spaced, and that's the entirety of the document. It's actually 1.5 pages. So it's got like maybe 3 or 4 sections we could break it down into. The preamble, you know, as you said, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. That's the preamble.
That is so beautiful. And of course, don't you think it's key, this separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them?
Right.
Not the king.
Right.
Not government, not the parliament. It's the laws of nature and nature's God. So what did they mean? What was their intent when they said laws of nature and nature's God?
So this goes back to this idea of natural law, which is like you look around nature and you can kind of see the way animals treat each other, the way animals behave, the way nature is. You know, that's what we would call in Christendom, that's what we call general revelation of God's creation. You know, you look at a couple of animals and maybe they get into a fight, or, you know, mama bear, something like that, where there's this inherent right to self-defense. And all of these ideas are brought out in the Constitution.
Yes.
You know, which won't come for another 11, 12 years. But the idea of the laws of nature, we look at nature and we see how animals behave. Well, humans are a lot smarter than animals, and we can come up with a lot more devious and terrible things to do to each other. So then we appeal to nature's God, where some of these base instincts of the animal world are tempered, you know, with what we call the Ten Commandments, like thou shalt not kill. In the animal world, there's no question about it. If I want to kill you, I'm going to kill you.
Right. Okay.
You know, that's what two moose get into a fight. Not even for food, just because you're in
dominance.
My territory.
Yeah.
You know, so you have the laws of nature, and some of those are applicable to us. Self-defense is a perfect example. You know, mama is not going to let her baby cub be attacked. Mama bear is going to go on the offensive, defensive, and attack and kill whatever's after her child, going to defend their home, going to defend their family. But then you have the laws of nature's God as well, you know, to where it's not just indiscriminate killing. You know, a skunk gets into your hen house, that's just indiscriminate killing. And that's the laws of nature. Well, man could do that just as well, but we've got something moral, a moral guideline to temper us, to keep us from doing that, or hopefully prevent us from doing that.
And they called him God, nature's God. So in a way, I mean, I'm saying that if I were to be a thesaurus, I'd say, well, that's the God of creation. That's what that means.
Right.
Nature's God is the God that created nature.
Right.
And they meant the God of the Bible, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They're not explicit in these documents, you know. They talk about divine providence, the supreme judge of the world, nature's God, the creator. So there's several references to that, you know, if we want to say higher being or whatever, within this document. But when you look at the lives of these founders and you read their personal correspondence, there's no doubt about they were talking about the God of the Bible.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're up against our last break. We're going to take that right now. When we come back, we're going to expand on this idea. I love the how informative it is to not only read the documents, but the journals and the letters and what really expanded what and who they were talking about in all of this. All right. Stick with us.
Summertime and sunshine is synonymous with the great outdoors and enjoying all it has to offer. At Winter Ridge, it also is synonymous with access to delicious, fresh fish. We are excited to be rolling out a weekly fresh fish offering. Each Tuesday in the meat department, we will be featuring a rotating weekly fish, limited quantities, specialty varieties that'll add a splash of something new to your at-home menu. Cast your line with us each Tuesday and catch something new. Winter Ridge, your community choice for local, natural, and delicious. At the corner of Lake and Boyer in Sandpoint.
For 48 straight years, Ford F-Series have been the best-selling trucks in America. We got here by engineering breakthrough technology, redefining built Ford tough, and never settling for second best. But what's really made Ford F-Series the number one selling trucks in America is you. Ford F-Series, built Ford tough. Based on 1977 to 2024 calendar year total sales.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Come by boat or car for unforgettable waterfront dining. Pearls on the Lake in Hope. Open Wednesday through Monday, noon to 8. Close Tuesdays. Enjoy a fresh new menu, tasty cocktails, and live music on beautiful Lake Ponderay. Pearlsonthelake.com to reserve your table today.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing your schedule, responding to Jim's long emails, leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC starting at $699.99 at dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
Did you know Pro-X Home Decor Center in Bonner's Ferry is a certified dealer in popular General Electric and Samsung appliances? No need to ship online or fight the crowds in a big box store. Come have a cup of coffee with us and see what we have to offer in our quiet and spacious showroom. You can also shop other national brands like Maytag, Amana, Igloo, Speed Queen, Whirlpool, Crosley, Conservator, and Forno appliances. All in stock and at competitive prices. Come see us today at Pro-X Home Decor Center.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We've really got it going on for you today. God bless America. And American history is so interesting. Sean Morgan is here helping us understand so much of this. So here we are into the Declaration of Independence, happened July 4th, 1776. And they talked about the laws of nature and nature's God, and then begin with that second paragraph. Sean, we hold these truths to be self-evident. I love this language.
Yeah, that self-evident is kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, we used to say, duh.
Duh.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these, so not just these, but among these, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And this is in total contradiction to the way that government had been up to that point. We had the divine right of kings, where the king just said, I'm the guy, God made me the guy, so you have to do what I say.
Exactly.
And then some of that power started to get peeled away from him, you know, with the Magna Carta, and then Parliament got a little bit more of that power during the English Civil War and the English Glorious Revolution, as they called it. So power was being pulled away from him and delivered to the people. And this document just kind of reinforces that. And then when we get to the Constitution, we have the whole we the people, where
yes,
it's finalized.
I know. It is so critical to understanding why America has been so successful and needs to stay true to its roots, that we are empowered with these rights, not from a king, not from a president, but from God. And people want to leave today, I think, leave him out of the equation. We just have these rights and we can name our rights and we can right. We can make them up. I can, you know, I've got the right to whatever. And it's not so. It is our rights, these inalienable rights. Is it unalienable or is it both?
In Thomas Jefferson's original draft, it was inalienable, in the Declaration that was signed is unalienable.
Thank you.
It basically means the same thing.
They're both okay.
And I'll point out, you know, so you said we don't get our rights from a king or a government or a document.
These documents
do not give us our rights. They just spell them out.
Right. And that the purpose of government is to secure these rights, to protect these rights, to make sure they always stand.
Right.
That's why we have government, to protect us and our rights. Okay, so now go on. I think that most people may not understand this long list in the Declaration of Independence of abuses and usurpations. I mean, what were the issues that these founders were so upset about?
Yeah, so as we talked about through the history with all these different acts and these different things that the government of England did against the colonists, they listed them out. You know, they said it's only fair for us to tell the world why we're doing this.
Yes.
And they have 27 explicit indictments of basically crimes or, you know, usurpations or tyrannous displays of power that the king and the parliament did against the colonies. You know, they call it a long train of abuses and usurpations. And, you know, prior to that, there's this third paragraph here that talks about throwing off government when it no longer meets the needs of protecting these rights that we just talked about. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient reasons, though. You know, we don't like what's going on right now, so we're going to change everything. And a little bit of that's happening nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it talks about how we'll tolerate this kind of stuff while it's tolerable.
Yeah.
Because we're used to.
They were definitely not hasty. That's for sure.
Yeah, they're very patient. So this long list of trade and abuses, 27 indictments here. There was actually 29 in Thomas Jefferson's original draft when he brought that back with the Committee of Five to the Second Continental Congress. And he had a very explicit comment in there about ending slavery. So under English law, manumission or freeing your slaves was illegal. And he wanted to do away with that. That's why we have this all men are created equal business mm-hmm. in here. He was referring to all men, not
yes.
just white men.
And that was his intent. That's what he meant. I didn't realize Jefferson was the main author. In fact, he wrote almost all of it, didn't he? I mean,
right.
he had a committee, but he was kind of the author.
Yeah, so you have this Second Continental Congress, 56 people in there, and they established what they call the Committee of Five. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Livingston, and Sherman.
Wow.
And it was the responsibility of these five guys to come up with something. Well, Thomas Jefferson was kind of singled out. Adams said, hey, Thomas Jefferson ought to do it. Don't know why. I haven't learned that yet. But Thomas Jefferson locked himself away for a couple weeks in the latter part of June that year, 1776, and came out with this document, presented it to the Committee of the Whole. They made some edits, taking away, you know, this really indictment of slavery, that he had put in there, as well as a commentary on our, you know, our supposed friends back in England, who we've also been reaching out to, you know, because they're mm-hmm. there. Hey, can you go talk to Parliament for us? Mm. And Thomas Jefferson was pretty upset that those were pulled out. You know, they pulled out the slavery one so that we wouldn't lose South Carolina and Georgia in this confederation of colonies that we have, trying to, you know, compromise. It was a compromise that was necessary. And he had a comment, you know, when he wrote his autobiography. I don't know if we want to spend time on that, but he was pretty upset that they pulled
yeah.
that out.
Well, so, we can take time at our next yeah. session coming up in August, you guys. So stay tuned there. The first Tuesday in August, we will be covering, kind of reviewing about the Declaration and moving on to the Constitution. Okay, so the other thing they did, which is amazing, they wanted people to understand that, you know, these are all the abuses, and this is what we did to try to take care of it.
Yeah. So that's the last bit, you know, maybe the third section of this document. And it kind of wraps up what we've talked about today.
Yeah.
But I'll just read that real quick. It says, in every stage of these oppressions, we've petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered with only repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked in every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Talking about the king, King George III.
Of a free people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We've been reaching out to our friends back home as well. You know, we've warned them time and again that their legislature is doing this, causing these unwarranted jurisdictions over us, and basically spelling out all that they've gone through to try and reconcile with the crown, to try and be good Englishmen, but to be well represented and treated fairly. And that didn't work out. They list that out. And they talk about their friends back home, enemies in war, friends in peace.
Yes.
You know, like we're not having it anymore. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from the allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all the other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Honestly, that last sentence is just so beautiful. I love it.
And it costs these guys.
Exactly. Firm reliance on divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and their families,
yeah.
and our sacred honor. Honestly, I'd like that to be the last word, but I am going to keep talking here a little bit and say thank you. Thank you,
my
Sean,
pleasure.
For being with us. This is just such a wealth of information. Listen, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, America 250, go search for it, the State of Idaho site, you know, .idaho.gov. Go to their Facebook. You can get information there. teach your children American history. All right, that's going to be the last word for today. About thank you again. Next week, we're going to circle back my ongoing interviews with Idaho State Police. We're going to talk about vehicle crashes, deaths, injuries, and causes, and also the ISP's partnership with ICE, Immigration and Customs Service. What's happening there? Until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down, love each other, and may God richly bless you, my friends, and God bless America.